Well, so far so good. There's always something outstanding, isn't there, about the carols? Something interesting. Did you notice when this was unrehearsed, when the zebra was given the chocolate and the zebra put the chocolate in through the nose? The chocolate then went onto the head. So the head had to come off for the zebra to consume the chocolate. I loved that bit. And thanks, Peter, for that reading. Fantastic. This little bit is called The Message. And so this is a little bit where we explain what Christmas is all about. We try to unravel all the things around Christmas. And what is the true Christmas message? And I've got a few slides to help us. So this is what the angels said. So we're taking the authority of the angels, a heavenly host, who came and they yelled out the message. There was this unsuspecting group of shepherds literally wandering around the hillside at Bethlehem, expecting nothing. And then suddenly they're confronted by this angel. I don't know whether you can imagine what that would have been like. This very excited angel who's explaining what Christmas is all about. And the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And just in those words, it's amazing, isn't it? First of all, I bring you good news. I don't know what you think of when you think of good news. Some people might think of maybe when they'd won the lottery, for example. And here's a picture of 20 lottery winners all looking very rich and happy. They're not all rich and happy. Some of them, it messes up their lives, actually, doesn't it? But they're putting on a good face there. And when the good news came to them, they decided they would do different things with their money. There's a man here called Dean who won, what is it there, £13 million, just about. He said, I've flown a jet plane in the Florida Keys, gone ice racing in Finland, and skydived in Devon. But we're glad to hear he's also able to help out his family and support charities close to his heart. So that was good news to him. You can imagine how he must have felt. You see people crying. You see people jumping around. You see people yelling and shouting when they win the lottery, when they get that good news. And yet the angel here had the best news of all. Earlier this week, on Wednesday morning actually, this is where I was. And by some amazing circumstances, I found myself on the 57th floor of a 5-star hotel in Singapore, which I wasn't expecting, which I didn't pay for. But I went to myself and Vern and Regina were invited to go to Sherry's wedding. Now, many of us here know who Sherry is. And she married a lovely guy called Peter from Malaysia. And they'd obviously saved up for an awfully long time. And one of the things they did on the way back was to say, this is your hotel. Well, we would have been happy with a bed and breakfast. But there it was, completely unpaid for. 6:30 on Wednesday morning, I got my timing a bit messed up, but there I was at this rooftop swimming pool, followed by a lovely jacuzzi. Amazing. And it was good news. But you know, as I went downstairs to my room after my fabulous morning swim, I thought, well, what is there to do but enjoy this free gift? But on the way downstairs, I thought, what if this was my lifestyle, that I had this every day, but yet I didn't have joy? I didn't have an inner happiness. How miserable, how empty that would be. So it wasn't really that kind of joy that the angel was talking about. Maybe more this kind of joy. And there's a picture of the wedding. There's Sherry and Peter getting married in the Philippines, a wonderful Filipino wedding. And they were very happy. And I can tell you that they had joy on the outside and they had joy on the inside as well. Going back to this good news of great joy, this thing was entirely free. And the message that the angel was bringing to them of great joy was something that which was completely free. When I became a Christian, age 17, I experienced great joy. And a bit like the shepherds, it completely took me by surprise. Somebody had explained to me that in order to become a Christian, I had to ask this Jesus into my heart. And that day, this old vicar explained this to me, and I took him at his word, and I prayed with him, and that day I asked Jesus to come into my life, and I had no idea. God is very surprising what was going to happen to my life. The next morning I woke up, and my experience was of incredible happiness. That's the only way I could describe it. And for several weeks, I was on cloud nine because I experienced this joy, this happiness that I'd never known before. It's like I discovered what I was always looking for. And it was amazing. It hasn't always been that way. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel a bit gloomy. But yet I know that in God, in my relationship with Him, I will always find joy if I can reach Him. A man came to my school when I was about 16 years old, and this man had been locked up in a prison in Romania for 5 years because he was a pastor. It was a communist regime, and he'd been thrown into prison for his faith. And he met nobody. He was allowed to see nobody. And yet this man, there's a picture of him here. He was called Richard Wurmbrand. And he said, "Every night I danced for joy in my cell." That's the kind of thing where it's not dependent on how we are, on our circumstances. And so Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." That's an amazing thing. And then the angel said, "Great news of good news of great joy for all the people." So this news wasn't for the rich people. It wasn't just for the poor people. It was for all people. It wasn't just for the good people. It was for the bad people. And there are many bad people who have come to know this joy as they have found this message of the angels for all the people. So what was this message? What was this thing, this message of joy? How were they going to find it? And the next thing the angel said was, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So actually, this message of joy was a person. Sometimes people think that Christianity is a religion. It's something that you have to do, maybe a bit boring. You've got to do all these good works. And if you do enough of them, you'll be okay. Or you'll be saved even. But the message here was there was a Savior, Christ the Lord. And Christianity is about Christ. And Christmas is actually about Christ. The word actually means Christ Mass. He is the center of what we are here we're singing about tonight, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I love the play that the teenagers did. I wasn't here for the rehearsals. That wonderful play, and Jonathan was standing there with his arms out as a picture of Jesus, this child that was born to die, actually. And another angel came to Joseph when Mary was pregnant and said, "After her baby is born, you will call his name," and this is what the children's play was all about, "Jesus." And that word Jesus means Yah is salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I don't want to dwell on this, but just in case you don't know what that word sin means, that we need saving from, that's how I think of it. It's like S-I-N with I in the middle, where it's me, myself, and me. And so much of Christmas is like that, isn't it? You know, my present, how I want, you know, I want my program on television. It's all about me. And we get very messed up in our lives when we are in the middle. This sin thing, this selfishness, spoils our lives. And actually, it separates us from one another as well. It even separates us from God. But the good news is the payment for sin, the Bible says the payment for sin is death, but the gift, just like that hotel to me, that gift that God freely gives, that's everlasting life found in Christ Jesus our Lord, the free gift that came at a price for all the people. My favourite verse in the Bible is this. Let me just share this thought with you. God loved the world. That's us, isn't it? Every one of us. Every one of us here tonight. We are all in the world. So much that he gave his only son that everyone. So the message was for all people. So that's me and that's you. So that everyone who put their trust in this Christ, in Jesus, may not die but have eternal life. You see, this any present we get at Christmas, in the end, it's going to wear out, break down, or lose its interest. But the gift that God was giving through Jesus was going to go on forever. It was an eternal gift. He was born to die. And so, as we saw in the teenage play, he died on a cross because he loved us. Now, my friend Sherry and Peter, they must have worked very hard for us to have that experience in the 5-star hotel. But Jesus paid an even greater price. There was a price for this gift that the angel was talking about, and it was a free gift. Final thought in this message. The angel said in this passage, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom he is pleased." How can God be pleased with you and me? Is it through us like being really good to everybody, giving away all our money, all our possessions, spending our time on other people? That might be good, but it's not good enough for God. His standards are much higher. It says that peace to men with whom he is pleased. What pleases God most? Well, for Sherry, what if she had spent her money, Peter and Sherry had spent their money on giving us that gift, and we decided, well, that's, you know, all very nice, but we're just going to find somewhere around the corner and curl up on the side of the street and spend the night there. She might have felt a little bit hurt having gone to that effort. God sent his son for us. He gave everything for us. And the best thing we can do is to accept the free gift. We have peace. God gives peace to those with whom he is pleased, those who accept the free gift. When we arrived at this hotel, we had to do something. We had to announce who we were and we had to check in. They also paid for our flight. And so we got this message, put in this code on the internet, and it's all ready, but we had to check in. We had to check in. And though the free gift has been given, God, there is something for us to do. And even today, whatever, wherever we are in our relationship with God, wherever we are in our hearts, there is something that we have to do. We have to check in and say, oh, that gift's got my name on it. So, let's just pray, shall we? Let's close our eyes as we're sitting here and just think for a moment about this Christmas message. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for all that we have seen and heard tonight. Thank you for the lovely drama and from the teenagers and from the children, and this message that this wondrous gift is given to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the greatest price of all. You came to earth to live a perfect life, to give your life away, and to die so that we could be free and that we might have this joy eternally. Lord, we want to check in. We want to say, Lord, could we have that free gift? Could we experience that joy? We receive it with thanks. I've got if you're a visitor or a guest, then on your way, and you might have got a little goodie bag that had some sweeties in. But it also had, one is the Alpha Course, something that we run all through the year where we can, people who are looking to find out more about Christianity. And we have meals together, about 10 weeks, and we learn together what are the basics of the Christian message. And also by a guy called Nicky Gumbel, who started the Alpha Course, something called Why Christmas. It's a really good little booklet and worth a read over Christmas if you want to.
Just a few things to announce before we have our final hymn. You may have noticed that it was Christmas carols and Christmas tea. So we're going to have some lovely things to eat in a minute. So do stay for tea at the end. And a blaze, that's the older teenagers are going to serve the food and some of the adults are going to serve drinks. So you won't have to queue up. Food and drink will come to you. The children... there's going to be a colouring sheet, and that's going to be at the front on stage. There are also going to be, very exciting, some Christmas tattoos, also on stage. You've never heard that before, have you? I know if you're an adult and if you want a Christmas tattoo, I'm sure Joe has got a couple to spare. And just also to say that you're very welcome to come here next Sunday, where we have our normal celebration. So, let us sing, stand and sing our final song. And while we're singing this, we're going to have some flags, and we're going to celebrate, and the children are going to wave these safely from the front. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Good afternoon, one and all. We're going to make a start. Before we do that, if you'd like to just say hi to somebody, if you're not already doing that, welcome somebody. Find somebody you don't know or don't know very well. Say hello and welcome. The time has come for us to begin. You may have spotted a few heavenly creatures wandering around. It's that kind of time of year. The mulled wine this year is a little stronger than normal. I'm hoping no one falls asleep. Shall we, let's stand, shall we? Let's stand and let's just pray and ask God to come and lead us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. Lord, we thank you that we celebrate this incredible event of God becoming man, the mighty God becoming a tiny, tiny baby. And Lord, as we celebrate this afternoon, we ask you to come, reveal yourself afresh to us. Reveal to us the wonder of this event. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to us? Would you help us to find you, to know you afresh this afternoon? Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to hand over to Nick now.
You may not be seated for long, because we've got our first carol, which is... O come all ye faithful. There's a couple of lines here. O come ye to Bethlehem. And it's a nice thought, isn't it, as we're singing this. Just imagine that you are coming to Bethlehem. For those of you that don't know where Bethlehem is, it's the place where Jesus was born. And that's what this service is all about. It's finding that person in the middle of all the Christmas stuff. So let's stand up, shall we? First reading about the promise of the Messiah in Isaiah.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Amen.
Amen. What a passage. We're going to stand in a moment and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. I know you're probably not supposed to have a favourite carol, but this is unashamedly my favourite carol. I had to memorise it as a child. It was the first thing I ever memorised. I didn't know you could learn things off by heart, and I was taught to learn this off by heart, and it kind of stayed with me. But this carol was written apparently a guy, I don't know what his name was, but he was an American Sunday school teacher, rode on a horse from Jerusalem to Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, as you did in those days, presumably, 1865. And he stood and looked down at Bethlehem from the hills. And 3 years later, he remembered what he'd seen and how moved he was at the thought that this was close to where the shepherds have been, where the Bible teaches that the angels came, and he wrote, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." So that's a bit of the history. So we're going to stand and we're going to put up the lights again and we're going to sing this carol.
Hello all. Welcome to the carol service. We hope that you're having a lovely time. And today we're going to be collecting money for a poor village in India.
There are people all over the world over India who are poor, starving, and have no clean water to drink. They are also catching malaria because they cannot afford to buy a mosquito net.
Last year, we raised money for mosquito nets, food parcels, and a water pump. Our friends Gerard and Jeannie are going back to India with our money, and they will bless another village in the same way.
You will see them at work in this short film. At the end of the film clip, you will see our well with a plaque saying "Donated by New Life Church." If you are a taxpayer, please fill out one of the white envelopes with your name and details, and the charity will be able to claim your tax back.
So we're going to watch a short film in a second, and all of the money donated today will be going straight to India. Thank you.
We're here just to share God's love in a very practical way. We've just been sharing with food, providing food for the villagers, 3,000 villagers here, and mosquito nets for every home. And I think one of the things that's just struck me is just the surprise and the joy on people's faces when they saw, really, it's God's love in action. We've come to show them that God cares for every individual, that they're also incredibly special to Him. He loves everyone, from the littlest children to the oldest adults. And that's been such a joy to us to be able to do that.
Such a joy and an honour to be here. But I feel we've been given back far more than we have brought.
Yes.
We have been so blessed and so loved and so welcomed. It's an incredible joy to think we could practically give them some gifts from all the donors that make this happen.
Yeah, it's incredible the need that's here, you know, and it's wonderful that our partners back in the United States and the United Kingdom who are joining with us. You're part of this.
Yes.
Okay, we're here, as it were, on the front line, but you are part of this, so we thank you.
We feel like they're with us.
Yes, yes.
In heart and spirit.
Yes.
And I know we feel your prayers.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
We've got Adam who's come with us. He's 26 years old. And I'm hoping there's going to be a great surge of young people.
They have loved him here today.
Yes, so much.
It's been wonderful.
From across universities in the United States and United Kingdom, who will come and join with Awakening to God Ministries in sharing God's love with those who've got need, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, and the prisoners. So, this tremendous opportunity. What a joy to share the love of God with folks here, isn't it? So thank
very,
you so much.
Moving.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. So the couple that you saw in there, Gerard and Jeannie, used to be part many years ago of the church here, and they've launched this project out in India, and we've given extensively via our carol service to various projects in India, and this is the one we're giving to. This is, please, if you're a visitor, you don't feel under any obligation to give. It's just really for the church to give if you'd like to. That's absolutely fine. Some of the young people are going to pass around baskets in a minute. We're not going to do it for a second because we're about to sing our next song. We're going to do the offering while we do our next song, and it's a version of Away in a Manger. It's got a bit of a twist to it. You see these letters that we've got at the front, which says Christmas. It's got a chorus, Away in a Manger, this version. And it says it's Christmas. Okay, it's kind of celebration that Christmas is nearly here. So we need some volunteers. I think some of the young people might, I think Jinju and Jangmi might come up. I'll take anybody to come and hold one of these letters. We're going to wait. Yeah, Ruth, brilliant. Joe, yes, come and grab one. Well, we need you to be able to spell. We need to get it in the right order. Lucas, fantastic. So when we get to the It's Christmas bit, you're going to really wave them, all right? Brilliant. We need a few more people. Where are we? Great. Look at this. We've got a shepherd. He's come up. He's even willing. So in a minute, when we get to the Sarah Jane, brilliant. We need one more. We need an H. Someone to hold an H. Who's willing to hold an H? Brilliant. Luke, come up and hold an H. And an A. Joshy, do you want to come up and hold the A? So when we get to the It's Christmas bit, we're really going to wave them, all right? Have we got it? Have we got the word roughly in the right order? We need to move up. Do you want to move up a bit? Come on the other side of the steps, I think. Brilliant. Doesn't matter if there's a bit of a gap. Do you want to come here? Come in the front. And you're going to really lift them up when we get to the It's Christmas bit. Brilliant. We're going to stand and we're going to sing it. Away in a manger. We need everyone up on their feet. Brilliant. I would come to this carol service just to sing that song, you know. That was wonderful. Okay, we're going to do the children's play now. So if you're in the play, we need you to come up onto the stage, unless you're a king. Joseph, you need to, Daniel, you need to go and grab your mic from the back. You're coming up. So if you're a king, you're at the back, and everyone else is coming up onto the stage. We are just about organized. It's very bright up here. Are you guys all right? You just got to kind of look out there. There's people out there somewhere. Okay, so we'll just introduce everybody. We've got Edward here, who's going to narrate the play with me. There's Edward. We've got Abigail at the back, who is the Italian landlady who owns the inn. We've got Abby here, who's Mary. And we've got Daniel here, who's Joseph. We've got the zebra who's appearing as the donkey. We don't know why, but it's just always been that way. We've got Sarah Jane, who's the angel of the Lord. And we've got Berenica and Natana, who are also angels. And Sophie, who's backing up the heavenly host there in the corner. We have got, okay, on this side, it gets a bit rougher on this side. Okay, we've got celebrity guest at the back, Patrick, who's appearing as a flock of sheep. We've got Joshy, who's a sheep. We've got Joe as a sheep. We have got Ione, and we've got Luke as our shepherds. And then, right at the back, we've got Denzel, King Denzel, and we've got King Canio, and we've got King Daniel. I can't see them, but I'm hoping they're at the back somewhere. And then, you can see them, okay, brilliant. And then we've got the audience, which is you guys. And last year, you had an upgrade. So you are the distant lambs again on the Bethlehem Hills. Can we have a quick practice? Yeah, you are always very good at that. And then you are also the Bethlehem innkeepers that don't have any rooms. So when we get to that bit, you shout, no room, no room. Quick practice.
No room.
Whoa, amazing. No room. Really? So we're sounding like a sort of political rally briefly there. Right. Okay. There was once a man. There he is, called Joseph. He was tall and strong, but oh, so forgetful. In fact, you could say that forgetful was his middle name.
Forgetful is my middle name.
He forgot everything. His keys, his hat, his bank card. And now he was really in trouble. He paced up and down, his hands behind his back. He was bent over with worry because he'd forgotten something terribly important. You see, an angel from God had come to him and told him that Mary was to have a baby and the child was to have a name like no other name. But Joseph had forgotten the name.
I just can't remember the baby's name.
He cried out, beating his head with his hands.
Anyway, to add to all his worries, he and his wife Mary were having to travel south all the way to Bethlehem, to the town of his father. And they needed a donkey, but only a zebra was available.
Okay, we need the zebra and Mary and Joseph to all come forward.
And the zebra was very old. Anyway, they all set out together, crisscrossing the ancient hills.
Crisscrossing the hills. We have a problem with the zebra because he can't see. He can only see through his nose. Okay, well done. That's it. Brilliant. Okay.
To speed them on, Joseph promised them a large bag of zebra chocolates on arrival. So the old zebra picked up some speed and began to rush across the mountain at quite a pace with Mary and Joseph in hot pursuit.
Well, they finally arrived in Bethlehem. And Joseph began knocking on all the doors. But he kept hearing the same answer.
Finally, he knocked on the last door of the street, the Palm Tree Inn, and from inside came the frantic reply of the desperate Italian landlady who ran the last inn on the street.
I'm coming.
She cried out, flinging her hands in the air and waving a huge bone, as she tended to do when she was distressed. She took one look at Joseph, Mary, and the zebra and cried out,
I have a normal room. I'm sorry.
This was the final straw for poor Joseph, who fell on his knees wailing and cried out.
Look, I have a very hungry and old donkey.
Zebra.
And Mary's about to give birth to the most important child the world has ever seen. You just have to help.
He shouted, greatly moved by this tale of woe. The overwrought landlady waved her arms and the bone in the air and shouted,
I must help you.
And with a great sweep of her giant bone, she led them off to her stable, saying,
you come with me, I give you what I have, the stable round the back.
Oh, and so she settled Mary down on the straw, and she gave the zebra some special Italian chocolates that she happened to have, and she headed back to her guests. But Joseph paced the floor, and he could be heard muttering,
What is the baby's name?
Meanwhile, in the distance, out on the Bethlehem hills, the sound of the distant lambs could be heard. And the Bethlehem shepherds were just arriving for their night shift. Their sheep were making a great fuss as they ran around all over the place. The shepherds chased them around. Anyway, the chief shepherd knew what to do. He had special sheep chocolates. I'm not sure that was in the rehearsal. He gave them the chocolates and they all settled down, quickly falling asleep beneath the lovely stars on that special night. They snored loudly. Both the shepherds and the sheep were the loudest of snorers. It's a sort of farmyard feel to the whole thing up here. Suddenly, the inky black night turned as bright as day. It was the angel of the Lord. The shepherds and the sheep started to shriek. You're shrieking. And they fell on their faces before the angel. And the angel of the Lord cried out,
baby has been born here in Bethlehem. You must run and find him.
Brilliant. The shepherds and their sheep rose to their feet. But then they suddenly remembered how frightened they were and they froze. And then what happened? I've lost my way.
Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, the baby had at last been born and laid in a manger.
Okay, we need the baby to be born and laid in the manger. Can we grab the manger? Just grab the manger.
The kindly landlady came rushing round to see the wonderful sight. She lifted the baby into her arms, saying,
ah, the bambino, so beautiful, but what is his name?
I haven't decided yet,
announced the distressed Joseph, taking the baby back from her and giving him to Mary, who put him in the manger.
Yeah. Meanwhile, out on the hills, the shepherd and their sheep unfroze and ran, as if in slow motion, towards the stable. The chief shepherd arrived first and gently lifted the baby from the manger, exclaiming, there's problems with the swaddling clothes.
Wow, just look at this baby.
And the sheep and the shepherds crowded round, and then Irony the shepherd asked the million-dollar question.
But what is his name?
Joseph grabbed the baby back from the inquisitive shepherd and announced,
I haven't decided yet.
And he returned the baby Jesus to Mary. Suddenly, the sound of important-looking footsteps could be heard in the distance.
Are they coming? It's the kings. Wow, those footsteps sound important. It sounds like a crowd of kings.
Then the doors of the stable swung open and in walked three incredibly important-looking people.
We've seen a star in...
in the east,
cried out King Daniel.
We have come to worship him,
said King Kanayo.
He is the king of all kings,
proclaimed King Denzel.
And the Lord of all lords,
they said in unison. And they fell on their knees in front of Mary and in front of the baby. And they cried out in their great, important, king-like voices.
What is his name?
Whoa. And a hush fell over the stable as everyone waited to hear. And then poor, worried, forgetful, who was by now pacing the floor like a caged lion, suddenly had a thought.
Ding, ding.
It was the best thought he'd had for a long time. Of course, he thought, Mary must know the baby's name. The angel told her as well as him. And so he rushed to her and he whispered,
what is the baby's name?
His name is Jesus.
Can you do it again?
His name is Jesus.
And a hush came over the whole stable as if in an echo. With great awe and wonder, they all whispered,
His name is Jesus.
A bit louder.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And then the whole stable, now we've done that bit, and at the sound of his name, the skies filled with thousands of angels, tens of thousands of them, and the whole stable rose up to its feet, and led by the very merry zebra and the landlady from the Palm Tree Inn, they danced a most heavenly dance. Are you ready? Grab a partner. Everybody grab a partner. Can you all come and bow? Give a quick bow. Well done, guys. Well done. Okay, we're heading back to our places.
Thank you for watching.
Peter is going to come and do a reading, one of the famous Christmas readings, and then Nick's got a little Christmas thought.
Good evening. Yeah, this is from Luke. You probably recognize it. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. Whilst they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God, of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those to honor his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I'd probably just pray that we really just received this. So if you close your eyes for a second. Lord, I thank you for this time of year, and I thank you for the message. I pray that although we go through it every year, I pray that each year you can show us something different. I pray that you can really open our hearts, open our ears to listen, and open our eyes to see you, Lord. I pray that, you know, we don't get wrapped up with the worldly gifts, and we can remember the greatest gift, a gift that we didn't deserve. And we can share this gift with others. Use this as an opportunity to share this gift with others. And I just thank you for your love and the fact that we're able to meet together and share it out, Lord. Amen.